And part of it is we might have had 30 years, 40 years. I'm 52. I've had 50-some years of conditioning, so I'm having to recondition. And it's not something that happens instantly. That's why, like, when we do a training, we might do 1 or 2 days of training, and then we'll have 4 conference calls afterwards over a series of the next month or two, because people need some repetition. They need to recondition a new belief for it to take hold. It's like you may if you learn the art of basketball, you go to the basketball court once and you go, okay, here's the game. Put the ball through the loop or whatever it is. I don't play basketball that much, so I don't really know. But, you know, you got the idea. It takes about 2 seconds to learn the game, but then it might take you years to master it. Or you could sit down at the piano and here's the idea. Just press the keys and music comes out. Well, it takes us time to get conditioned to change our conditioning. I don't know if that last metaphor really worked that well. So
good enough.
Good enough. Thank you. Do you have anything to add there, Kristen?
No, I think you got it all.
Paul, I had a question.
Go ahead.
When you first started listing those 4 steps, you were saying something about this is how you move from something to something. What were the words you used? Like from reaction, I think?
Yeah, from reaction to choice.
Gotcha.
Moving from, just being in reaction to actually making a choice on how you want to act.
Okay, thank you.
And if you look at that with Kristen when doing the Sponge Wars, and by the way, why we use the Sponge Wars, and some of you could say, that's so trivial. I mean, we have big issues. We have life, you know, we have kid issues or career issues or money issues or sex issues. We don't have sponge issues. And here's what I want you to say or to hear is that if you can't handle the sponge issues, you're not going to build the trust and intimacy that's needed to handle the big issues. Because if Kristen can express herself, and even though it wasn't in a way that I really enjoyed hearing, if she can express herself that way, and I can stay connected to her rather than move away, then she can actually express her fears around issues around money or issues around sex or issues around our careers or things like that. If we can handle the little issues with compassion and understanding, then we can escalate it. Because most people say, I'm going to ask, how many of you on the phone want a relationship filled with honesty, trust, and intimacy? Any of you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. You know what? I'm saying this in a generalized way because I don't know who said yes and who didn't. But most of you are lying. And here's why I say that. I'm saying it somewhat facetiously, but not entirely. Intimacy, the truth, honesty in relationship, it is not what people think it is. Intimacy is not safety. Intimacy is being able to tell the truth in spite of the fact that we do not know what my partner's reaction is going to be. That, and what happens is that starts to build trust in me, not in Kristen. If I tell her the truth, she and I don't know what her reaction is going to be. That's intimacy. Now, that's my description of intimacy, and you might disagree, and that's fine too. But intimacy is about, in my world, when I'm saying that word, it's about revealing what's alive in me, my fears, my doubts, my dreams, my desires. Here's my warts. Here's where I'm scared. Here's where I'm embarrassed. Do you still love me? She can say no. You know what? No, that last thing you said, I'm out of here. That's disgusting. I hate you. And the trust and the truth, it's like, it's a scary thing. I can say to Kristen, oh, man, were you attracted to that guy? It looks like you were checking him out. Yeah, he's kind of handsome. I had a fantasy about him, and it's like, I don't want to forget the truth. I don't want to hear the truth anymore. Lie to me. So it's like the truth in relationships, we say that we want it, but then how do we react when we get it? because at some levels we condition our partners on how to treat us. If they tell us the truth, then it's a truth that we don't want to hear, and we go into reaction. What we're teaching them is we say we want the truth, we want honesty and openness, but please lie to me. Don't make me uncomfortable. Early on in Kristen and I's relationship, she said, I love you, before I was there. And I said, wow, that makes me feel uncomfortable. She said, okay, well, I won't say that. And I said, no, say that. Our relationship's not about being comfortable. See, and if you think that your relationship's about being comfortable, then you can forget intimacy, trust, truth, honesty. Those things do not go with comfort. In fact, here's the challenge, and this may be a little controversial, but the enemy of your relationship is your comfort zone. Because relationships are a lot like plants. They're either growing or they're dying. And sometimes, you know, you can look in the window and you can see those beautiful silk plants, but they're basically dead. They look really nice from the outside, but they're dead. There's nothing there. And then the other ones that are really alive, they can look really messy at times. If you got to dig in the dirt and fertilize them and nurture them and all the rest of that. So I've said a lot right now, and it would be helpful to find out if there's any comments, questions, anything anybody'd like to say about what they've just heard.
It's nice to say, you know, move from reaction to choice and not have things escalate. But, and when two people are grumpy or not in the mood and you start talking about the sponge and then the other one says, but I made dinner, and the other one says, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Where do you go from there?
So, that's actually, thank you for that. That's a great question. When both, and mistake number four when cup stuffing, it's when both of our cups are full of frustration, upset, disappointment, whatever it is, how do you deal with it? One of the things that Kristen and I have is our little code. We can say our cup, you know what, honey, I want to hear you, but right now my cup is full. Can we talk about this in an hour? Can we talk about this in 2 hours? Right now what I need before I can talk about this is I need some empathy for what's going on in me, or I need some space. I need empathy or space. And so we can do that dance. And there's times when the two of us, we have not perfected this. Part of the reason we teach it is because we're both learning it to take it to the next level. There's times when we get stuck in it, and neither of us are enlightened. And it ends up, as any normal couple would, in an argument. But if one of us is awake enough that we're at choice, that we can go and do the four steps, it will de-escalate it and bring back the connection that we both cherish.
Yeah.
Does that make
sense? Yeah, thank you.
And part of what we're operating on is we get our Ross from our family, but we get a cultural Ross. And I want to talk to you about a tiny bit of a cultural Ross, and they're also called myths. So we've got like the Disney myth. So who would like to just tell me what they think the Disney myth is about love?
Happily ever after.
Happily ever after. We find, and now the new age twist on that is we find our soulmate. Mm. And once we find our soulmate, everything is perfect. Here's my twist on that. And I know there's nobody. Is anybody here on the phone a Super Bowl fan? I don't want to be sexist just because there's no men on the phone that there's not any football fans.
Nope.
But it still worked that way. There's no football fans.
Nope.
All right. Anyway, let me just use this metaphor. If you could give me a better one, I would use it. I'm not a major football fan. I may watch one or two games a year, but the metaphor still works. Just think about it. You've worked your whole career because you want to end up being on the Super Bowl team. And you finally get on the Super Bowl team, and it's just before the Super Bowl game, and you come into the locker room, and you go, guys, pop me a beer, give me the TV, I'm going to kick back because this game is going to be cruising. I'm going to just be able to cruise my way through this, and I'm not going to have to break a sweat. What do you think of that? No, not going to happen. The reason, the Super Bowl is the toughest game you'll ever play. Here's my twist on that in relationships. Your soulmate, if you find your soulmate, that's the person that's going to stretch you, to cause you to grow, to cause you to change. Kristen, I've gone through more stretching and growing and all of that with her than I think with any other relationship. And part of the reason I've been willing to do it is because it's worth it. So my paradigm shift on this is you don't find your soulmate and then go to sleep and go unconscious, and they're supposed to love you because they're your soulmate and they're supposed to accept you the way it is. No, that's the person that it's worth getting up early, staying up late, learning what you need to learn to grow so that you can actually create a relationship worth having. Because if you find somebody that's really worthwhile and then you treat them like crap and you let your Ross run the show, if they're intelligent, they're leaving you tomorrow. That makes sense.
Yep.
And that happily ever after stuff, that is like, I'm going to find the right person, and then I'm going to be able to stop growing and not have to do anything uncomfortable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happens is you end up with a nice dead relationship. And nice, by the way, stands for not interested in connecting emotionally. Not interested in connecting emotionally. And how many of you get excited when you think of that thought? Yeah, I'm going to get a nice, comfortable relationship where neither of us are growing. The excitement's gone. We're just going to, like, kick back, watch TV.
Yeah. Drink. Well, can you speak to the difference between comfortable and easy or hard?
I don't know if I can. Tell me more.
Oh, some people think that if the relationship isn't easy, then it's, well, in fact, you have that in your questionnaire. Like, is it worth, you know, kind of worth working for kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Something about that there. Is it, I've heard people say things like, well, if it doesn't just flow easily and maybe not effortlessly, but pretty easily, then it's just not a good match.
It's not meant to be. Well,
that works.
Yeah. Let me give you, do you want to go with that, Kristen, or you want me to?
No, go ahead.
Okay. My twist on this is, and I go in, Kristen and I do this too, but I go in and teach in prisons, and Kristen's got a lot of at-risk kids and stuff like that. So dealing in prison, there's what I consider, there's a difference between a challenging relationship and an abusive relationship. And if it's abusive, then I'm all for getting out of it. If it's not serving you to cause you to grow. Now, it's not easy, and that's what I was saying about the Super Bowl thing. My relationship with Kristen is not what I consider an easy relationship. I consider it incredibly rewarding. And we're not deliberately trying to make it hard on each other. But to tell the truth is uncomfortable. It takes a constant, we're constantly at choice. Am I choosing to stay connected with this person? Am I choosing to build a case against her and move away from her? To me, that it's like all you've got to do is look at any place else in the world and know that that's, well, I'll be blunt, that's bullshit. I mean, think about if you're a master pianist, was that easy? It looks effortless from the outside.
Yeah, when you know what you're doing, it does look effortless.
Yeah, but that's it. When you've done work, you look at somebody who's in ballet and it looks like they're floating across the stage. My God, how many thousands of hours of practice to float across the stage? You know, any art form, a painter, a singer, a musician, it looks effortless. because they put in the time and they practiced and they busted their butt. Kristen and I, you'll watch us go through issues, and from the outside, it looks almost effortless because we put in the time, we've learned the skills, and that's what makes it effortless, not because the stars got together and, you know, the karmic moons were in the right alignment and I'm a Pisces and she's a whatever. And
It's not that we're not having disagreements, it's that it's easier to get through the disagreements.
Yeah. And there, on the other side of it, there is a certain interest and willingness. You can do this as an individual. You don't have to have both people doing it, but my God, what a gift it is to have both people doing it. Kristen's interest in this, what an incredible gift. It makes it so much easier and more wonderful.